But this man named Bildad is going to ask a question that I think is of enormous value.
Amen.
Let's read this together in Job chapter number 25. Job 25 verse 1 says, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, Dominion and fear are with him." Speaking of God. "He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man, that is a worm,
Amen.
And the son of man, which is a worm."
Amen.
I'm thinking about, praying about, finishing out this year on Sunday mornings by looking at some great Bible questions. And while we dare not pit one portion of Scripture against another, I would think that you would agree with me this morning that this text that we read, and in particularly verse number 4, gives to us one of the most serious and most solemn questions in all the Bible. And the truth be told, if we do this on Sunday mornings and go through great Bible questions, probably every Sunday I'll think this is one of the most important. But my friends, if you would stop and consider the weight of the words that Bildad asked in verse number 4, what a tremendous question that this is. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can a man be clean that is born of a woman? I want to preach this morning on a solemn inquiry. A solemn inquiry. I ask you this morning, how would you answer this question? How would you answer the question that Bildad asked? The question, of course, is how can a man be justified with God? How would you answer that question? If called upon, what reply would you give? This question, this solemn inquiry, assumes that there is need for justification.
Amen.
The question assumes that any and all who have any wisdom understand, at least to some degree, the fallen condition of man and the high place of God. I'd like to examine this question today. I'd like to look at this Solomon inquiry and seek to answer the question that is given here. As we approach this, we are immediately faced with two inescapable truths. This, and I have this in quotations in my outline, this friend of Brother Job sets before us two great certainties. Number one, who God is. And then number two, what man is. And then he follows this by introducing a great, great difficulty. A difficulty so complex and so intricate that only God can answer. How can a man be justified with God? Essentially, this man, I suppose Bildad, who is coming to Job. And you know how it is, I think Bildad means well by going to Job. Essentially, Bildad takes these thoughts that are in his heart and he expresses them through the words of his mouth, and he wonders, and let us wonder with him, how indeed is it possible that a man can be justified with God?
Amen.
He declares in verse number 5, if you look at this, he declares the purity and the holiness of God. In verse number 6, he declares the pollution and the depravity of man. So knowing who God is and knowing what man is, Bildad asks this question, how can a man be justified with God? And then part 2, he follows that up with, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? We must consider that this critic of God's faithful man sets before us this great inquiry. Let us consider these things. I like to think of these two great truths, who God is. We'll try to establish this if we can this morning. I like to think of these two great truths that Bildad is inspired to introduce to us as two great columns, two huge and vast columns. This first column that is built up is who God is. And we'll try to examine that a little bit further and try to develop that a little bit further. He sets forth this column on this side and it says, this is who God is. And then on the other hand, he sets forth another column. This is what man is. And these two columns stand, these two great truths. God in purity and God in holiness. Man who is defiled and man who is depraved. Both of these truths stand tall and stand firm based in the Word of God. How can these two be brought together? What is it that can bridge that impassable gulf between these two columns? Is there any hope for mankind? How can a man be justified with God? If God is who He is and man is what He is, how can these two be reconciled? This is what Bildad asked us. That's what I would like for us to explore together this morning. On one side, there is the holiness of God standing strong and true. And on the other side, there is the true state of fallen man, wicked, cruel, and depraved. How can this impassable gulf be spanned? And we'll search this out. Let us try. And as I was studying this through the week, God began to reveal to me how pitiful and poor all of our attempts at declaring this will be. Follow me, if you will. If man is what he is, how can we accurately declare who God is? You understand where I'm going with this? If we are what the Bible declares that we are, how could we in any measure rightly declare the majesty of Almighty God? Amen. Even our best efforts to declare who He is going to be torn down and tainted by what we are. And then furthermore, we might go a step further and say, if we are what the Bible declares we are, we won't even do a good job of describing what we are. And as I thought about this, and I thought about mortal man, so weak, so frail, nothing but flesh, just as the grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, how can we declare an infinite God, His omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence? How can we, so feeble and frail and weak, declare His majesty? And the answer is we can't. Not to any great degree, we just simply cannot. But let us strive, with God being our helper, to try and declare who God is. Let us establish this column, and then we'll establish this column, and then we'll see, is there anything or anyone that can bring these two together? First of all, verse number 5, who God is. Let us take just a few moments and try and determine what is being said about God. I said verse 5, but if you'll back up with me, verse number 2, the Bildad declares, dominion and fear are with Him. Let us say together this morning that God has a universal kingdom. We read Psalms 145 in our Bible reading this morning. We read this. God has a universal kingdom that extends beyond the ends of the known empire, the known world, that extends beyond the vastness of even space itself. The Lord is righteous, is what we read in Psalms 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Amen. He rules among the heavens. And you know that God's Word, in fact, in this very same book, God's Word declares that God in His purity even charges the angels with folly. We and it is so pitiful, my attempt to stand before you and declare the majesty of the omnipotent God. He has supremacy and dominion beyond compare. Verse number 4 says, I'm sorry, I put it in my notes wrong. Verse number 3 says, is there any number of His armies? Can anybody declare? Can anyone know the number of the armies of God? Can anyone tell the number of His angels? Can anyone declare the majesty of their power? And these are but the instruments in His hand, that which He declared. He has armies without number, supremacy and dominion beyond compare. His omnipotence stretches beyond this fickle thing called time. God's holiness is above mortal description. His purity and His power surpasses human imagination. The brilliance of His divine person dispels every hint of darkness. Not even a shadow can be found in His perfect presence. Now it says in verse number 5, behold, even to the moon. The very moon itself blushes with its own darkness in the presence of God Almighty. We see that the stars, verse 5 says, the stars are not even pure in His sight. Even the sun in all of its brilliance is but a flickering candle compared to the brilliance that is our God. Oh, the depths of the riches. I'm going to read from you out of the book of Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Listen to this, Romans 11:34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Amen. Who hath given first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Often men get the idea that God is some gray-haired old grandfather who would never raise an angry hand to anyone. In Psalms chapter number 50, after enumerating a great number of atrocities committed by wicked and depraved men, the psalmist says, these things, this is the words, as it were, of God Himself. Psalms 50, verse 21, these things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest, now note the thoughts of men. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. See, that's what men think of God. Men have a God of their own imagination. A God who they can put in their pocket and carry with them when they want to go somewhere. And when they need Him, they reach in and they pull Him out as if He could be contained. God could not even be contained in the sanctuary that was built for Him, let alone in the minds of mortal man.
Amen.
It says here that God says, but I will reprove thee. I will set them in order before thine eyes. Listen to the words of our God. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces.
Amen.
That doesn't sound like some old kindly grandfather, does it?
No.
Now God is a God of love, and He's long-suffering, and He's merciful, but that's not all that God is. He's also a God of anger, and a God of fury, and a God of wrath. And because of His purity and His holiness, and because of who He is, He must punish sin.
Amen.
He says, I will tear you in pieces, and there can be none to deliver. We should try with all that we are to give thought to the fact that our God is great. And He is above all gods. Greatly to be praised. Our God is so strong, so powerful, so almighty, we cannot describe who He is.
Amen.
The Bible says that of our God that He telleth the number of the stars. And calls them by name.
Amen.
No wonder when you try to stop and contemplate who God is, no wonder the psalmist came out and said, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Amen, brother.
No wonder we read Bildad's words. How much less than man? Less than a word. God with all His glory, majesty, and might, and power, and brilliance beyond words and beyond all that we can come up with. Beyond all of this, what is man that God would be mindful of him?
Amen.
Our pitiful attempts at declaring His righteousness is impaired by our unrighteousness. Our attempts at declaring His justice is held captive by our own depravity. We, fickle man, could never rightly declare who God is.
Amen.
But then as we turn that over, we also realize on this side, this is who God is, and on this side, here's what man is.
Yeah.
You know, even the inspired writer who pens these words is just a sinner.
That's right.
Bildad's just a sinner. He tries to declare all of these writers are just sinners and that God has saved and used for His work. These that God used to try and declare His person to us were still mere men, mere women, who could not rightly declare who He is. But I want to turn that over and say, not only can we rightly declare who God is, we can't rightly declare what we are either.
Amen.
Any honest attempt to declare God's purity is held down by our sinfulness. Our most sincere efforts to speak to the awfulness of man. Now, let me interject something very quickly. I'm going to preach hard on the true nature of man. Does that mean that man are not capable of doing moral things? Surely they are. Man is capable of doing good things. Certainly mankind is. Even now, as we sit together in this room, there are men and women who are on foreign fields protecting our freedoms.
Amen.
Right now. And we're thankful for that. And that is honorable. But that will not justify a man before God. It's not that man can't do any good things, but everything that we try to do. The Bible even declares that even the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Amen.
It's not a faith. We learned as we studied the book of James, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen, bro.
Our most sincere efforts to speak the truth of God's holiness and our impurities only shows forth just how weak we really are. And I got to thinking about this week, and I'm certain I could rally a group of amens. Would you agree with me that none need look any further than the recent events in Ferguson to see the depraved conduct of men?
Amen.
And to be quite honest, it made me sick to my stomach to watch it. Yet while we are sickened by what we see, this is only a small sampling of what wicked men are capable of doing.
Amen, brother.
And now here it is. The greater truth that remains is that most of us are so blinded by our own depravity that we would never stop and consider that could be me out on that street. Rioting and looting. And as I sit there, some of you are saying, oh, I'd never do that. You know why? Because you don't know the wickedness of your own heart.
That's right, brother.
You sit here with your pride and say, oh, I'd never do that. Is that right? You say, well, if I know my heart, I'd never do that. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, the Bible says you don't know your heart.
That's right.
Now, how's that for preaching? The God's Word declares that the heart is deceitful.
Amen.
Above all things.
Yes,
and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen, bro.
So before we sit in judgment of those things, and they are wicked and cruel, and depraved and ugly. Yes, they are. Don't you sit here in judgment of others, because were it not for the grace of God, you could be right among that number. But a lot of us want to sit here and say, oh, not I. That's because you don't know what exists within your own heart. See, because you don't have a real glimpse of who God is and what you are and what I am. We look at men like Hitler and Stalin, Saddam Hussein. We see riot and murder. We see theft and rape. We look at the nightly news and we are torn apart by the depravity that we see over and over again. As we try to portray in God's Word, tries to portray the ugliness of man, we are reminded, what is man that thou art mindful of?
Amen, bro.
I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but it's in the inspired book. Verse number 6 says, how much less man that is a worm.
Amen.
Now, if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, they need to get hurt. A worm. A worm. How much empathy or compassion do you have towards a worm? Did anybody stop this morning as you walked in this morning and give any thought to the worms that were kneading and kneading their way through the ground under your feet? I bet not a one. What is man that God would be mindful of him?
Amen.
What is man? A worm that the high and lofty one would come and die for. What is man?
Amen.
No wonder Bildad asks, how can a man be justified with God?
Amen, brother.
I'd like to go through it, and I don't have time to read all of it, but let's just turn over, because I think sometimes we get so familiar with this that we fail to open the pages and look at the words. Look at Romans chapter 3 with me this morning. Let us be reminded of the nature of man, the wickedness of man, the depravity of man, the sinfulness of man. Romans in chapter number 3 has a lot to say about what man is. Romans chapter 3, and I know these are familiar words, but let's refamiliarize ourselves with these words. Romans 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, and he's making reference back to the 14th Psalm, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth... Now, don't tell me this could be just... This could be pasted on Fox News. This is what you see every night.
That's right, bro.
Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen, bro.
That's what mankind is. That is what we are outside of the work of grace that God does within us. And even with that old nature's still there.
That's right, brother.
I could give you a few other things out of the Psalms, but time is running away from me. Psalms 10 lays out a glorious declaration of the awfulness of mankind. We persecute the poor through the pride of our countenance. We will not seek after God. And he goes again, the mouth is full of cursing and deceit. All of these things paint an accurate yet ugly picture of what man is.
That's right, brother.
We're just a worm.
That's right, brother.
Now here's some language for you. This is not pretty language, but it's Bible language. God's Word tells us in 2 Peter 2:22 that a fallen man is like a hog that returns to wallow in the mire.
That's right.
And here it is. And a dog that returns to his vomit.
That's right, brother.
That's what depraved, sinful man is. And I'm telling you, even these pictures that I'm painting, I don't even do justice, because your mind and my mind is painted by our own pride. We're more wicked than we're willing to admit. We are rotten, even to the core. We are sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and we drank iniquity like water.
Look at the millions of lives that have been upon this planet that have been destroyed by genocide, by corrupt kings and their desire for vainglory. Think about the millions of murdered unborn children.
Right.
Who have been sacrificed upon the altar of choice by wicked men.
Amen.
And don't try to tell me how good we are.
That's right, brother. Preach
it. No wonder God's Word says to us, what is man? Job, they find it 2 times in the book of Job. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? What is man that he should be clean? The psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. The psalmist says, I ask myself this question. What is man?
Amen.
That thou art mindful of him? This is what God is as best we can paint. This is what man is as clearly as we can show. How can these two be reconciled? Here is the solemn inquiry Job gives to us in verse number 4. How then? If this is who God is and this is what man is, how then can man be justified with God? How indeed? How indeed can a man justify himself?
No.
Oh no. No. Can a man be good enough? Can he change his nature to such an extent that God will be pleased with him? You know, the answer to that is found in God's Word. Can the Ethiopian change his skin?
No.
Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed, and that language is that are born to do evil. Can a man be good enough to justify himself? Can he live a moral enough life, a clean enough life? God's Word answers that again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight.
Amen.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Can a man get religious enough to please God? All you have to do is turn over to Luke 18 and the parable that God gives of the Pharisee and the publican that went up into the temple to pray. And God, in the person of Christ, Christ tells us that publican, that sinner, went away justified.
Amen, brother.
Why? How was he justified? And the answer is, and always will be, we are saved by grace alone,
Amen.
Through faith alone,
Amen.
In Christ alone. That's it. How can a man be justified with God? God has to justify him. We cannot justify ourselves. God cannot cease from being God. And you and I by nature cannot cease from being what we are. If this huge impassable gulf between these two columns is to be spanned, God must come to man. Man cannot come to God.
That's right, brother.
No. Can a man justify himself? No. Let the contrite shouts of the repentant echo in your ears. No, I can never justify myself before God. I can never be good enough, moral enough, religious enough. Only by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
How can a man, here's what Bildad asked, how can a man be justified with God? God has to justify.
Right,
how can a man be clean? God has to clean him. That's how it is. In order for God to justify a fallen man, He must do the work. See, I'm afraid that there are some, even among our audience today, who think that one of these days God's just going to sweep it all under the rug.
You're not going to do it, brother.
That all your sins and all your trespasses and all your wrongs, and one of these days it's all just going to be okay and God will just pass by. He will not.
Amen, brother.
God is of holier eyes than to look upon sin. God's Word tells me in that glorious place that He's going to prepare us that there shall nothing enter in that defileth. So how can an unholy, unjust, wicked and depraved sinner be justified with a righteous, pure, and holy God? God became man.
Amen, bro.
The substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God came to us. Our Christ became Jacob's ladder that extended from earth to heaven. Our Christ passed that great gulf that separated paradise from hell and brought life and immortality out of death and destruction. He, our Christ, took our place, bore our sin, and we must depend on Him alone to save.
Amen, brother.
How is it that a man can be justified with God? Here's the answer, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for us. Listen to this. The just for the unjust. That's what Christ did. The just and holy for the unjust and wicked. Here's what Peter says, that He might bring us to God.
Amen.
Isn't that something? How is that, these two columns, how is that great impassable gulf, how is it bridged, how is it spanned? Through the body and life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how.
Amen.
Peter says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, we're justified by His grace. And I like this. How can a man be justified? You know what Romans chapter 8 says over and over again? It is He, God, that justifieth.
Amen.
You know that glorious passage, move over, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And don't you love that language? And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Past tense, it's already done in the mind of God.
Amen.
It's not carried out yet here on earth, but it is in the mind and will of God.
Amen, brother.
It is God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Amen.
When you think about who God is, and you think about what we are, and we shall be like Him, the words of that song come to my mind. There's no other word for grace but amazing.
Amen.
If you're trusting today in anything else to justify you before God, it will fail. How can a man be justified? There is that Solomon court. How can a man be justified with God? Because God became man.
Amen.
God became man in the person of His Son, came to this earth, died for sinners, was buried, and rose again for us. And by trusting in Him, His righteousness is imputed to us. His faithfulness is given to us. His goodness is given to us. We have nothing to offer to God. It's all by His grace.
Amen, brother.
Are you justified today? We're going to close with a song. Miss Bobby, if you'll come. Jerry, if you'll come. Are you justified today? There is the solemn inquiry. What a question that is. How can a man be clean? God cleanses him through the blood of Calvary's Lamb.